Hello and welcome to The Hill and Valley. It's Nick Roby. Thanks for tuning in. It is officially football season, everybody. The Clemson Tigers are about to kick off the 2024 season. I'm super pumped after an off season of all talk, a lot of speculation, a lot of locking in, a lot of coach speak. The Tigers are here and ready to go. I'm super pumped to get to talk about some Clemson football. They play this weekend. They played Georgia in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz. It's a neutral site game. I use that in quotations. It's a de facto home game for Georgia, who's right down the road. Clemson will have a should have a pretty good contingent, but this is all in due purpose a road game for Clemson. Clemson is coming in as the underdog in this game, but we want to break it down. We want to talk about it. Just to get you ready for the game on Saturday. So super pumped. Let's dive on into it. So if you are listening for maybe the first time, this is the Hill and Valley, which is the Clemson Edition podcast, a part of the Backyard Catch podcast network. So if you want to hear more overarching when it comes to college football, ACC basketball, some bigger picture than just Clemson going over there. This is a part of this, but if you're looking for a more Clemson specific focused talk and more getting a little bit more into the nuts and bolts of the Tigers specifically, then you're in the right spot. So super pumped. Let's get into it. So Clemson comes in as a 13.5-point underdog. I've seen Clemson's over under win total at about 8.5 to 9 on the season, 8.5 to 9 wins. This one's a tough one. I think there can be a lot of success for this Clemson team, but we will also learn a lot about this team based on how they play. The last time they faced Georgia in an opener in 21, the offenses did not score a touchdown, and it was, you know, the start of a long year, or just a lot of, you know, some questions, a lot of things to look into. So with this team, there's been a lot of positive talk, a lot of locking in, but you also have to face the number one team in the country, who's been the best team for the past 3 years, and in their backyard, you know, and they're feeling really confident. So the questions will be, you know, what version of Clemson will show up? What new pieces will fill in? Will guys who are second-year starters continue to make that momentum? Will there be a consistent rotation of the same people, you know, at wide receiver? How will the offensive line come through with Matt Luke now as the O-line coach? Year two under Garrett Riley, what will that look like? Barrett Carter comes back at linebacker. How does the rest of that defense come together? Peter Woods moves outside. How does he move with the defensive end? How does the secondary look? Do they look, you know, lock in, and can, how will they look against this passing game for Georgia? So a lot to talk about. Yeah, like I said, 13.5-point underdog. Originally, I was a little bit surprised at that. Not that Georgia was the favorite. I expected that. The number seemed a little high to me, and we'll get into it later, but it just seemed a little high. And I think it also shows a little bit of just how Clemson has, you know, by Clemson's standard, not, you know, maybe you could argue underperformed a little bit. And, you know, last year was the first year in a long time where they didn't get to 10 wins. So I think you're also going off of that as well, and how offensively they haven't been as strong. And Georgia just being the number one team for the past like 3 years. So I think a lot of that plays into it as well. But there's just some more question marks. The feel I'm getting for this Clemson team is that there will be improvement. There's been a lot of confidence, especially offensively, what they've been able to do in practice, what they've been able to do and show on the field, which is really encouraging, especially with these freshman receivers. I'm hearing a lot of good things with them, with Bryant Wesco and TJ Moore. How much they will factor in this Georgia game will be seen. I think if you can get them involved early, and if there's matchups to be exploited there, I think especially with Bryant Wesco, he gives you some of that, a little bit taller receiver, be able to get some, a little more of those 50-50 balls. What will also be interesting too is Clemson's going from, you know, having a couple backs being featured to having more of the traditional workhorse type of back in Phil Maffa. So there will be other guys who get more playing time, but for the past couple of years, it's been splitting up. of some carries. And I think you're going to see more of one guy handling the load. I'm also interested to see what, since we also didn't get depth charts this week. So, I mean, we're all kind of speculating here, but what's the receiver group look like? Like, who's the first, you know, receiver group going out there? Because you could argue that your two best receivers right now, who are the two freshmen, back-to-back freshman years, who have shown well, are Antonio Williams and Tyler Brown. The interesting part is they play the same position with the slot. So, but I think you got to put them both out there. So, you know, who plays outside, who plays slot, who goes on the other boundary? You know, does Troy Salato, now that he's fully healthy, will he get some? Adam Randall, will he? You know, he's got the tools. It's just a matter of putting it all together on the field and staying healthy. And I think the big question for this game is quarterback play. I mean, people talk about so much that you just kind of get like, yeah, quarterback has to play well. But really, for this team, if Cade has made the improvements that have been talked about this offseason and getting more to be able to continue that mental processing and be able to make those decisions quicker and not trying to force the big play, but still be the aggressor, I think we'll pay massive dividends, especially if this team can run the ball, take some throws over the middle. I think that's been missing in some of the passing games. So with Brennan Stuhl, if he can play well across the middle, especially in the passing game, you get one of the slot guys to play well. It just opens up the whole field, and it also gives Garrett Riley, as a play caller, it gives him a lot more options. But also, like I said, you're going against Georgia. I mean, the team was fifth nationally in scoring defense. They were first and third down conversion rate, like holding. Explosive pass rate, they were 13th. I mean, Clemson was not explosive in the pass game, and this was a solid defense. However, Georgia's also replacing a lot of pieces too. And we're going to learn a lot about Georgia. And I think there's been more assumptions made, you know, that Georgia's going to replace more versus like what Clemson brings. So, which, I mean, it's to be fair, they've kind of earned that. So those are some things I'm kind of looking for. I would expect, like, in this game to definitely try to get Cade going, get him settled into the game. Definitely don't want to turn the ball over. Really just put a couple drives together and really get a good feel. I would expect a good script coming out first part of the game. Definitely get film off of some touches. Wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of screens. Just to get the ball out, some quick outs, just to get the ball out of his hands, make some decisions, get a good feel of the game and get him into the game. And also, they've also announced this week that Nolan Hauser, I think it's, or Hooser, it's one of those two pronunciations. I always get a little confused. But the phenomenal freshman kicker, he's going to get the start over Gunn. So that'll be also interesting too, because I think this is going to be a closer game than maybe people expect. And so that's going to be really important as well. Defensively, it's just from a observational standpoint, I think that's been definitely the strong suit. Defensive line, I think, feels great. I mean, they had so many interior defensive linemen, and Peter Woods is so dynamic that they moved him to the outside, kind of like they did Christian Wilkins his sophomore year. So I think you feel good about that. Linebacker, having Barrett Carter is massive, having him back there. And then you get Wade Wood, as you know, doesn't get talked about as much. And then Sammy Brown, you know, Kobe McLeod, like some of those backup guys, like they're solid. Sammy Brown's, you know, you're going to want to know that name. 5-star. Saw him in person last year. Dude is legit and a player. I think probably the biggest question would just be this for on defense is the secondary, just because there's some young pieces. And I like Terrell, you know. And then you also have Koval. You also have Mickens. I think how will the corners kind of look? But I think you feel good about it, and that you definitely, they grew up a lot last year. So Khalil Barnes, of course, I think he'll play more of the safety. It's also nice to have Tyler Venables back. Yes, he still is on the team. I don't know what type of a role will look like for him, but I think just having that veteran leadership and having, you know, a been there, done that person on the team is massive. So, and I think as you're going against this Georgia team where, you know, of course they have Carson back. They have Travis Etienne's younger brother, Trevor. It's still unclear if he's going to play or not in this game, but he's a talent, but you know, they can run the ball. They have some good pieces on the outside. They lose Brock Bowers at tight end, but they have Oscar Delp, who is also a matchup problem. Dominic Lovett is probably the best receiver, you know, going into this game. they don't maybe necessarily have as much of the, to me, the clear cut, maybe like this is definitely the number one guy, but a lot of good solid pieces, and they can beat you in a lot of ways. And so you have to have your, you know, everything crossed up together for sure, because you don't want to get beat deep either. So I think just it comes down on paper to me, like this just comes to, there's been talk of like, you know, Clemson getting blown out, or I think these teams are more evenly matched than maybe people all the way realize. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring type of a game. I could see them playing similarly. I think they're just a little more evenly matched. So I think the key for is who can limit turnovers, of course, who can convert. You know, I think for Clemson to win this game, they have to capitalize in the red zone. It's just, there's no ifs, ands, ors, or buts about it. They were one of the worst teams when it came to converting touchdowns in the red zone last year. I mean, they fumbled the ball so many times. I mean, I know there's people are still thinking about it. You know, you have to capitalize. And again, when you're playing a team like Georgia, you really need to score 6 instead of 3. You just have to. And limiting turnovers, tackles for a loss, I think will also be a big in this game. So whoever wins the line of scrimmage, I mean, it's all the coach speak and all the, you know, the things, but they are those things for a reason, because they're true. And so when I'm trying to make a pick for this game, I think there are just a lot of unknowns for Clemson. I think there's unknowns for a lot of teams, especially offensively. I think going into last year, you know, you have Garrett Riley who had a magical season with TCU the year before. You felt like you could maybe, if you plug that in, and just a new freshness would really help it as much. And this year, just after last year, there's definitely some improvement, but the explosiveness wasn't quite all the way there. And I think it can be, but I think it's also a lot to expect like new freshmen to come and do that and come and put that in there. Like Sammy Watkins just don't come in like every year, even if they're 5 stars. So for me, I think just it's more about the methodical, like taking some shots when they're there, opening up the middle of the field. It's just it's making it spread. That's why they're calling it like a dirt raid. It's because the running game, opening up the spread, opening up the middle. You have some one-on-one matchups on the outside, converting third downs. Like I think the more they can spread that out and keep Georgia on their heels, the better Clemson's chances are. So 13.5 points just feels like too much. I think this comes down to, I think it comes to be about a one possession game, maybe 10 points. If you're really pushing at the end, you know, but I think this comes down to maybe like a touchdown type of a game. I really do. And it's just a matter of who can capitalize more. And I think, even though Georgia has some new pieces, I think just they're the more known commodity right now. And I think if it was somebody else, I would feel better about picking a Clemson win, but because it's Georgia, because it's in Atlanta, that's just tough, you know, and you know Kirby's team's going to be ready to play. You know, yes, they have a lot of distractions on the outside, but I think that they've shown that they can show up. Now, so my guess would be, if I'm going to pick a score, I'm going to go, I think there's a couple field goals for sure. I'm going to go, let's say 27. We'll go 27-24. I think that's what it's going to come down to. Because I think I was trying to pick a score that would have some of the field goals and intermittent with it. And I think Georgia's going to win, but I think Clemson's going to cover. And I think the thing for Clemson is, I think if they can hang around, and I think there'll be a lot of confidence within that, because even if you don't, I mean, of course, everyone wants to win. Like, I'm not talking about like a moral victory at all. But in a year where there's a new playoff and there's so much newness, and where there are some teams that we've already seen that are kind of licking their wounds, even with a loss or even with a win, I think there's definitely a chip on their shoulder. And I think there's a lot to be learned from this game. But I think it's close, but I just trust Georgia. I trust Georgia where they've been going, you know, offensively a little bit more than I trust Clemson right now. And not that I can't get there. It's just that's where I'm at right now. And I just think Gotta just call it like I see it. So I'm going to go 27-24. Georgia win, but Clemson plays well. It just comes down to like one of those possessions, one more stand. And I think Georgia pulls it out. But I think coming out of the weekend, you know a lot more about Clemson. You know a lot more about Georgia. We're going to know a lot more about a lot of teams. And you go into the home game with App State feeling better about where things are and just having actually seen it. But it's fun. I hope I'm wrong from a Clemson standpoint. It'd be nice to be wrong, but I think that's just where it is right now. So super pumped. Hope you enjoy the long weekend this weekend with family and loved ones. Enjoy some football. Enjoy some time outside in the beautiful weather with loved ones. So like and subscribe to the podcast. So it has the Hill and Valley feed on podcast. We're going to be uploading the video portions, a part of the Backyard Catch YouTube channel, a part of that whole network. So you can find all that in one place. And the podcast will have their own individual feeds. We're on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. I'm Nick Roby. Thank you so much. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you like the video. Leave a review if you can. Any of that is super helpful. Thank you so much for listening. And for now, we are signing off. Hope you have a good weekend.